Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we'll be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Monday Night Raw last night begins, of course, the road to the Royal Rumble. And we start off Monday Night Raw in sort of an interesting way. Kurt Angle comes out to make his announcement about Brock Lesnar's proposed opponent. Dead, Braun Strowman interrupts and quite honestly takes a lot of the edge off his own character by kind of saying, you know, Kurt, you should really pick me because... And I don't know. I understand you're trying to slide Braun Strowman into a face role. And you want him to be a little more, what's the right word for it? Maybe a little more vocal and a little more calm. But this really, I mean, you know, this is the equivalent of The Undertaker coming out and saying, come on, pick me. You know you want to pick me. Come on, I did good. I didn't like it at all. But then Kane comes out, and I like this even less, because here's the two men standing in the ring that tried to kill each other, and now they're okay. They're okay. They're just bickering about who should be the number one contender for Brock Lesnar's belt. When, in reality, the answer is neither one. But anyway, so here we have Kane saying, look, nobody's caused more destruction than me in all these years. And he's just seeming like he's lost. He has lost the Kane character. He lost it. All those years of doing the corporate Kane and all the other things. And he has just lost that edge that he had with his Kane character. You're asking the man to be Kane from 15 years ago. Not 5 years ago, even 15 years ago or more. And he just, I don't think he has it in him. And so they just kind of bicker back and forth about who should be the number one contender. And then, of course, Paul Heyman comes out. And his client, Brock Lesnar, comes out. And Kurt Angle says it's going to be a three-way and jumps out of the ring. And a fight ensues to which Brock Lesnar basically lays low both guys, making both number one contenders look just grand. The point is Brock Lesnar, who last time he fought Braun Strowman, sold that he really was outmatched. He beat him, but he was dominated, manhandled, and really sold that Braun Strowman was a monster who he was lucky to get by. Now, no. Now it's just, I can take you and Kane at the same time. Okay, well, so much for that then, huh? So I really thought this was a weak beginning to Raw because I would have much rather seen a three-way fight breakout in which everyone, no one dominated. Everyone's just battling everyone, and it's just a melee. Instead, you know, Brock Lesnar lays waste. And I think, Mike, that was a mistake.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake as well. And like you said, it's a weak beginning to Raw. You know, one little thing that I checked on yesterday is I went on YouTube and I YouTubed the 12 Days of Rusev thing, and you're starting to see a lot of fan-made tributes to this whole 12 Days of Rusev thing popping up. The only official thing they have on YouTube is the thing he did on SmackDown. They don't have the one on Clash of Champions. But when you've got when you've got guys, when you've got fans making fan-made videos of this thing, it's big. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's that. We'll talk more about that, obviously, on the SmackDown report. But I just thought that Raw really should have a beginning that would, and I know they figured that having Brock Lesnar there and come out right in the beginning is special. But the three factors I think that hurt this is A, Braun Strowman acted way too normal. I mean, normally he'd be out there saying, I'm the number one contender, and if you don't choose me, I'm going to destroy whoever it is you do choose. You know, that's the Braun Strowman people want to see. They're not cheering for Braun Strowman because he's a nice guy. They're cheering for Braun Strowman because he's an instrument of destruction. And if you don't let him be that instrument of destruction, they'll stop cheering for him. Then Kane comes out and he just sounds like, you know, a bitter old man. And he's just not playing the, you know, I love him to death, but he's just not, he don't want to play. You can tell he's not into this right now. And they're making him come out and just do things that Kane wouldn't do and say things that Kane wouldn't say. And it's just, it hurts. And then part three is that Brock Lesnar lays waste to both of them. That's not a good thing, really. I just don't think that's a great way to promote this match. I'd much rather seen them lay waste to Brock Lesnar and then start fighting amongst themselves. That problem with Lesnar sliding out and Paul Heyman hauling his ass back to the dressing room with Lesnar saying, to hell with you two. You want to kill each other? Go ahead. I'm not getting involved in this. That probably would have been better, Sabretooth.
Yeah, and also what I didn't like was the fact that we got Kurt Angle playing the coward, jumping out of the ring. I mean, it's like they forget that he had history with both. I mean, he fought both Brock Lesnar and Kane. Why would he be? Why would he be uneasy around these two guys for? I mean, I don't mind him getting out of the ring, but the way he did it though, like, it's a three-way match. I'm gone. I didn't like that neither. But the one good thing I like was that how Kane. I mean, I wish they would have like played this angle up a while back about Kane. I mean, about Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker. I mean, if they had played that up, I wish they had played that up more after like the making about Kane maybe wanting payback for The Undertaker maybe, but not going for his belt, you know. But I mean, like, he mentioned it, but they didn't like play up on it as much as I like, you know.
And also, yeah, and now it's a little bit too late. And plus the fact that if you beat The Undertaker, you could probably beat Kane. You know, Kane has been shown to be booked to be much, much weaker and easier to beat than The Undertaker in the past, you know, in the past. So, you know, I don't know. I just think you could have handled that a lot better. Kind of a poor opening segment, but we get to what's going to be Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm saying, okay, this would be a really good match. And out comes Jason Jordan. And I'll tell you something. Jason Jordan is far, far, far better as a heel. I mean, this isn't even close. And I know he's technically not a heel, but he's a heel. And he pulls this particular character off perfectly. He was absolutely bombing as Kurt Angle's long-lost son who is trying to live up to his dad's reputation and you know, finding it hard and all the bad guys are picking on him. He was absolutely not doing that. This kind of self-indulgent, me first, I'm as good as everybody else here, I don't want to take a back seat even though I'm new, petulant, you know, teenager type thing. He does that really well. Really well. I 100% buy it. I'm no longer bothered by him as far as like really not wanting to see him wrestle. Now I'm actually saying, okay, I actually want to see him wrestle. And when Samoa Joe comes out, and cuts another good promo. Joe's quite good on the mic and says, you two fight, you know, and then we'll make a decision on who fights me later or whatever. They had some real potential there. And I thought for a minute Joe was going to say, and it was going to ruin it. If Joe said, you can fight me both at the same time, I would have said, okay. Well, that's bad because that's not something a heel says. Heel's not putting himself in that position. And I really thought that's where they were going with it. But when he said, you two fight each other, and I'll take the winner, that plays the heel character off much better because no matter who wins, Joe gets a weakened guy. No matter who wins, Joe gets a guy who's already been in a match and a hard one. So that's brilliant. That was very good. Jason Jordan shoves Seth Rollins down when Rollins kind of scoffs at the idea and the fight is on. And this was a very, very strong match. These two guys have a style that kind of work. And I'm hoping that maybe in the future we see a longer program with these two guys when Jason Jordan finally flips completely heel, because I think these two guys could work a really exceptional match. This was very good. Joe did his part very well. And, Joe sold the super kick from Seth Rollins on the outside of the ring so well, I actually stopped it for a minute and said, did he actually knock him the hell out? Because, he ran right into it. And very good. I was very happy with the opening match. Todd, what do you think?
You're absolutely right. What Joe sold the super kick from Seth Rollins last night, now it makes me want to watch Jason Jordan wrestle.
Yeah, me too. And before, I did not want to watch Jason Jordan wrestle. I did not want to watch him in front of a microphone. You know, Jason Jordan, his entire persona and his entire wrestling style screams heel. And here's why. Not because he cheats or anything, but because he's so squeaky clean, and he has such a great athlete type thing. This is the type of guys that you want to see get smacked around. You know what I mean? And I think that Jordan now is learning how to milk that. And this is proof. This is proof. Now, I do want to mention briefly that I honestly think the time has come to do something about the announce team. Because it almost makes the show unwatchable. And, you know, I think some of the shine has come off Corey Graves' star, too. At times he's brilliant, but times he's not. Times he's really, you want to talk about corporate stooge. There are times he really milks whatever they want him to say. But Booker T is just, there's no way to possibly, in the same sentence he will say, I really like this kid, Jason Jordan. He's really coming along. And then he says, oh, I don't like Jason Jordan. You just said you did. Or he jumped the line. Well, this guy, you know, he's going out there and trying to get the top competition. That's what you do. And then he says, it took me 10 years. 10 years to learn how to win. 10 years? So you want Jason Jordan to wait 10 years? I can't. Sometimes I literally watch it with the sound down because I say, I can't do this. It actually distracts me, Mike, from the match, and I find myself just like reworking in my head the commentary.
Yeah, it really does distract you from the match. And also, I mean, and we'll get to this later, but what he said about Stephanie McMahon, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, in real life, we know what happens when a woman gets married. She generally takes the name of the man she marries, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that, and everybody knows she's married to Triple H in real life. Everybody knows that. So when he said what he said, that doesn't – you know, you don't fear her because she's a McMahon. She's no longer a McMahon. You know, whatever
well,
he is, yeah.
Blood. I guess he means the blood, you know. She has McMahon blood. She was born a McMahon. Therefore, she has the McMahon blood in her, and all the McMahons are the same. You know what I mean? I guess that's what he was trying to say. But the problem is he doesn't know how to say it. That's the problem. You know, the right way to say this is, look, Stephanie McMahon, is a McMahon through and through. She was born and bred a McMahon, and she can, you know, she can be Triple H's wife all she wants, but the blood running through her veins is McMahon blood, and you know where that goes. That would work. He doesn't know how to say it. That's the problem. And oftentimes, he just stumbles over everything he says and or totally contradicts himself within minutes. I don't know if somebody's feeding him stuff through the headphone and saying, you shouldn't have said that, so say this, or I don't know. It might be time to retire Booker T off of this team. It really might be. Anyway, I thought they had a great match. And I think Jason Jordan's coming along very, very well, Sabretooth. Hold on. There we go. Sorry.
I agree. And, And one point that you made that I very much agree with is when you said about his heel persona, how you said like you're looking forward to seeing Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe, and here comes Jason Jordan. He took that away from you. He did the perfect heel thing. Everybody wanted to see Joe and Seth Rollins, but here comes
right.
Jason Jordan to take that away. Perfect heel move. And also
right.
get
and
to
what?
The point after – huh?
I said, and what had we discussed in prior shows? That a heel, a true heel, has to take away something that the fans want to see.
Right. And he did just that. And also, but the thing is, though, is that if that I'm like you now. I mean, like, I look forward to seeing this guy wrestle. I mean, like, he's no slouch in the ring. I mean, he's damn good. So it's like,
yeah.
I mean, like, so they might be, yeah, I mean, like, so it might be kind of like backfiring on him after where when you see him coming out, you know, even though he's taking something away, I mean, like, when he's in that ring, you still want to get, like, a damn good match out of him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I wanted to see Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe, but when Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins began, I said, well, I don't know. But about a minute into it, I'm like, okay, well, this is working out fine. And it did work out fine. So I think Jason Jordan can be a player finally. I really do. I think he has the opportunity now to be a player. He just has to be coached along a little bit more. And we'll see what happens. Let's just skip around a little bit because, you know, this was a weird show. And since we only have an hour, I want to concentrate on the things I think are the most important. And we should jump to, I won't jump to the end, but let's talk a little bit about the Matt Hardy thing where he's playing chess with a goldfish, I guess. I mean, is it funny? I mean, I guess it's funny, but I don't like it being juxtaposed with the Bray Wyatt thing. Now, before I do these episodes, I scan the internet and I listen to what the fans have to say because, again, we always try to be the voice of the fans, and I can't believe how many people are saying, well, I like Matt Hardy, but Bray Wyatt's getting boring. You know, his shtick is boring. I don't like it. It's, you know, goes in one ear and out the other. I don't know what to tell you, folks. The reason that has happened, you better not be blaming Bray Wyatt for this. Because saying Bray Wyatt, comparing Bray Wyatt to Matt Hardy is like comparing Tommy Lee Jones to Jim Carrey. It's just, there's no comparison. Bray Wyatt is a million times better on the mic. He has a million times better delivery, has a million times better persona. The problem is everything he says never amounts to anything. So when you keep blowing off your mouth and it never amounts to anything, then it becomes, I don't want to listen to this. This is dull. This is stupid. This is dumb. It's nonsense. Of course it is, because it never amounted to anything. And I cannot see, unless Vince McMahon himself wants to bury Matt Hardy, I cannot see any way, shape, or form that any potential feud with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt ends up with Bray Wyatt winning, Mike.
I can't see it either, and that's the thing. Unless, like you say, unless he's just giving Matt Hardy, okay, we're going to let you do this for a short time and see how it goes, and then I'm going to bury this character, bury this gimmick. You know, now, how short of a time that's going to be, it's all in the head of Vince McMahon, you know. I mean, you could still make a ton of money off of Bray Wyatt, you know. I mean, you almost had something when you actually did put the championship around him, you know. It almost put some teeth to his words, but they took it away from him right away. You gotta put teeth to Bray Wyatt's words.
Title allowed him to back it up, but then he became different because a character like Bray Wyatt shouldn't want a belt. Or if he does take the belt, it should be as, I don't really want this belt. I'm just taking it to keep it away from you, people who don't deserve it, or whatever it is. But he shouldn't be the guy that's holding up the belt saying, I'm the champ. That's not Bray Wyatt. You know, if they gave Bray Wyatt the same creative whatever that they are going to give Matt Hardy, you'd probably see something better. But anyway, neither here nor there. Finn Balor comes out, and as God is my witness, I damn near fell off my sofa when they said it's going to be a handicap match. the Miztourage 2-on-1 against Finn Balor, and I said, Jesus Christ on a cracker. A 170-pound guy is now Braun friggin' Strowman, and he's going to take on two guys, one of which was an NXT champion, the other of which was a champion right here in the main roster, and for God's sake, he's going to win. And I said, well, this is it. I mean, this is the ultimate degradation. This is it. If Finn Balor beats both of these guys by himself, I'm done with this nonsense. Now, fortunately, a little bit of sense prevailed, and they decided, well, we can't have him pin him. So we'll just have the Miztourage gang jump him, which is, it's still a loss. Finn Balor still technically won a handicap match. But I'm saying to myself, maybe this is the spot where Gallows and Anderson come out. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is how they get the Bullet Club. No, Hideo Itami comes out. Hideo friggin' Itami comes out. Another, a 205 Live guy. And as Corey Graves pointed out 46 times in just under 2 minutes, he'll be making his debut on 205 Live this week. This is Hideo Itami from 205 Live. He's a 205 Live guy. You'll be seeing Hideo Itami on 205 Live, which is coming up. Holy Christ. In other words, they wanted to make sure you knew. He's not really on the main roster, folks. He's not a main roster guy. He's not a main roster guy. He's 205 Live. But if you tune into 205 Live, you'll see him. So a 205 Live guy, who technically isn't supposed to be competing with the main roster guys, and Finn Balor beat the Miztourage. Okay. Well, then, I don't know. I really don't know. Every time I think that they may have a greener pastures for the Miztourage Sabretooth, they just crush them under their thumb.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm like you. I mean, like, my jaw drops. I mean, you need two guys to take on Finn Balor. Not just that, man. You got like two second generation guys
and champions
doing this, right? You know, and even with the DQ loss, I wasn't happy because now they have to jump Finn Balor. I mean, like, he's so tough that they have to both gang up on him and get disqualified. I mean, it was just
it
pissed me off all around.
It was really, I mean, that was bad enough. But then I don't even understand why you introduce Hideo Itami to the main roster and let him get the pin and everything when he's going to be a 205 Live guy, Mike.
I don't get it. I don't get it either. As I was watching this whole thing go down and him coming to the ring, it finally dawned on me what Finn Balor is. He is Bobby Roode minus 40 or 50 pounds. That's what he is. He's all entrance, you know.
A lot of it is his entrance. But, Mike, I got to tell you something. You tell me what logic this makes. Let's trace this down. Let's be very scientific. Hideo Itami makes the save. Hideo Itami is a 205 Live guy. Hideo Itami is every bit the same size as Finn Balor. Hideo Itami gets the pin, thus he is certainly proven to be better than Bo Dallas or Curtis Axel, so why is he going to 205 Live while Finn Balor stays?
It doesn't make any sense. 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. You know?
Right.
That's the thing.
Stay in the main roster. You just be the main roster guy.
You're right. I mean, like you said, it should have been Anderson and Gallows. That's who it should have been.
I'll tell you what I really thought was going to happen, and I was crossing my fingers and hoping, is that Hideo Itami would help wipe out the Miztourage, that the Miztourage would kind of just like take a powder where they were like, we're not fighting, and they take off and get the count out loss, and Itami attacks Finn Balor. So the announcers could have said, what the hell? I mean, these guys were allies, and what just happened here? And maybe we would see Finn Balor cross over to 205 Live where we could legitimately have a great feud with him and many people. I was really hoping that maybe that was the direction they were going to go. If so, everything would have been worth it. Dead, the man who actually defeats someone from the main roster goes to 205 Live, while the guy who's exactly the same size stays on the main roster. Amazing. I don't know what to say about it. Amazing. Just friggin' amazing. The Revival make their comeback, and oh my God, there's a Heath Slater and a Rhino sighting. And this just goes, though, a little bit to my theory that if you're going to do something, at least let there be a branch on the tree that leads to, oh, okay, they got something set up for them. Slater and Rhino take the loss, as I knew they would. But they didn't wait 10 seconds before they went back to that dressing room and they had Kurt Angle say, you guys need to toughen up if you want more opportunities. And Rhino said, I know the exact way we can do this. And okay, then we as fans are told we got something for these guys. Yeah, they lost. The loss is going to lead to something. That's the kind of wrestling writing I like, Sabretooth, because at least in the loss, we get a branch on the tree.
And sadly to me, that was like the only compelling thing that happened on Raw to me last night. And then we have something to look forward to with these two guys. Because I like both of these guys. I mean, I wish they'd get more TV time because like Slater with the kids in the pool, I mean, that's golden. Yeah. And it's something that he brought up, you know, if they can get at least a couple years of entertainment out of that alone. But I'm glad that they showed up last night. I miss those guys. I mean, I like them.
Yeah, me too. And Slater's not old. Slater's got quite a few years ahead of him, and he could be good if they give him a shot. Rhino, you know, he's going to retire soon. But Slater's got a lot of possibilities. Todd, I thought it was funny, especially when he said, what's he going to do, fire us? It's Christmas time, and I got kids, and I got a pool. And right away you say, look, you see, there's something there you could use.
You're absolutely right there. That was one of a funny skit. But by the looks of it, I got that feeling you're going to see those two breaking up down the road.
Yeah, they may lead to something where Rhino and Slater go their own ways, which would be logical because Rhino, like I said, he's not going to put in many more years, and Slater's got, you know, several ahead of him, I'm sure. So that would make some sense. Anyway. At least it was good to see them again, and the Revival looked good, Mike, so we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, the Revival looked good, and let's hope they can stay healthy, you know. And again, they bring that whole thing kind of disappeared, that whole Slayer thing kind of disappeared for a while. When he disappeared off of TV, what made him interesting was that whole I've got kids and don't fire me and all that stuff. That's what made him interesting. And when they took him off of TV for that extended period of time, when he wasn't injured, it made him less interesting, you know. And that's the thing. I mean, they're still mining gold. They could still be mining gold from that thing if they just kept the guy on TV.
Yeah, I think Slater has a future. They just got to make sure they handle him right. Anyway, Elias makes a very brief appearance, which is nice because he wasn't on TV last week. So I said, if he's not on TV this week, I don't know. And I'm checking the injury reports. He's on TV this week. He gets a pretty good pop again. The thing that I'm watching about Elias is this. I know enough about the WWE to know that if they don't want you to say something, they'll tell you, don't say this. And if you say something they don't like, they'll tell you, don't ever say that again. Don't ever do this again. And week after week, when Elias comes out and says, who wants to walk with Elias? And he gets a pop. He says, that's not bad. That's not what a face says. That's not what a heel says. It's not what a heel says. A heel, even if he got a huge reaction, would pretend he got no reaction and say, the hell with you then. I don't want to walk with you either. You know, that's what it would be. So they're letting them say it. In fact, they're telling them to say it. So that means they don't know exactly where they want to go with Elias. They got an inkling that he could be a good face or a good heel, and they're right. You can't turn him right now, though. You got to let Elias work a good 6 to 8 months as a heel. But a heel that acknowledges the fans somewhat. Almost a tweener, but he fights basically faces. Before you flip them. because he's coming off kind of likable. When Sasha Banks gets in the ring and interrupts him, he doesn't say, get the hell out of the ring. He's like, hey, cool. As long as you're here, let's, you know the words, let's sing along. Mickey James comes out and he says, I don't normally like to be interrupted, but, I'm enjoying the company here, so that's fine. He doesn't really get mad until Bailey comes out. Then he realizes, I'm not getting my song in, and he refuses to hug her. I think that worked out really well for Elias, but I'm telling you that the fans are on their edge with Elias, where they're not sure what to do. They're not sure whether they like him or they don't. There's parts of him they like, and they cheer that part. And then there's parts of him they say, I don't like that, so they boo that part. And there's this tentative sort of a, we don't know where we're going with this guy on Elias. And I think the WWE needs to nail it down a little bit better. If they really want him to be a heel and a solid heel, he's got to do less cool things. He, you know what I mean? And if they want him to be a face, then just flip him. You've tested it, and I tell you right now, if I'm the booking guys or the talent guys or the creative guys, that test is, yes, he could be a heel or a face. Now choose one. Fans will like him. Fans will cheer him. Fans will buy his T-shirt if he's a face. Fans will boo him. Fans will get all over him. He'll be annoying as a heel. So choose one, because we can't keep running it this way. That's my initial reaction to that, Sabretooth. What do you think?
I mean, I agree. I mean, like you said, I mean, like it's like he pulls the crowd in with like the whole going, you know, talking about New England and Tom Brady. Then he turns around and says, like, you know, he deflates the football and changes the rule book. You know, so like he's walking that thin line. And also, I swear when Bailey tried to, I mean, I put it in the Facebook group last night where I thought he was gonna like clock Bailey with that guitar when she tried to hug him.
I'll tell you, had he done that, then we would have definitely known he was a heel. And at this stage of the game, he just walked off as kind of like. He didn't even get mad. See, that's the thing. He didn't even yell and say, oh, the hell with you people. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of was like a gentleman about it in a weird way. He snubbed Bailey, but he came off as cool, like, well, you know what? You girls interrupted me. I ain't hugging nobody. I get what you're doing here. It didn't come off like a super heel, Mike.
Yeah, it really didn't. And here's something else to think about. The old WWE would have already made the decision. You know, I mean, think about it. They would have brought this guy up, then they would have allowed him to do what he did, and then told him what to say and when to say it, and then after a few weeks of watching him, the decision would have been made. We're flipping this guy. You know.
Yeah.
Right now, they can't seem to make it.
No, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. The decision may already be made. I don't know. But we'll see what ends up happening. I still say he should stay heel for a while. He'll make a better face when the fans are more used to what's going on. No Anderson and Gallows. The Revival was okay. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of theirs. I know a lot of people are. I think they'll do well. I just think they're another Anderson and Gallows in the sense that they're going to be vanilla plain. And what's going to happen is you're going to say, oh, they're great in the ring, but pretty soon Vince is going to try to pull them into this circus of do this and say that. And pretty soon they'll be coming out with somebody's nuts in a jar as you know, Dr. Whatever. That theoretically that could happen to them and it's not going to work. So you got to handle the Revival well to make them go over on this main roster, in my opinion. They had a very competitive match with a team we haven't seen in a while. They didn't look like world beaters. They didn't look like the Bludgeon Brothers, where they came in and said, whoa, man, they destroyed former champions. Not at all. You know, not at all. So we'll see where that goes. Our main event, we're told, is going to be Jason Jordan and The Shield, minus Roman Reigns, of course, against The Bar and Samoa Joe. What they did not tell you was that Dean Ambrose was injured. He was injured going into that match. And that's why they waited so long to tag him in. It was like, will he make the tag to Ambrose? Will he make the tag to Ambrose? There was some, he had a heavy brace on his arm, as you saw. And they decided to turn it into an angle. What you saw there as far as Dean Ambrose getting injured was planned. That was a work, but he was injured. And he is going to be taking some time. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know whether they're going to have to relinquish the tag team belts. I think they might have to, because I don't see – I don't know what the severity of the injury is, but what I'm being led to believe is he could be out months, a month or two. And you can't not have tag team championship in a month or two, which means he'll probably miss the Royal Rumble. Or if he is in the Royal Rumble – nothing's going to happen to that arm, you know. He's just going to go in and get out or whatever the hell happens. I don't know exactly what the severity of it is, but it looks like they may, Todd, be having to surrender the tag team belts.
Absolutely right there. It made it look real the arm was bothering him. And like you said, I think they're going to relinquish their tag title shot sometime down the road.
They're going to have to relinquish the – yeah, they're going to have to. So I don't know. I mean, where's that going to go, Sabretooth? I mean, the Shield without Ambrose is not the Shield.
I don't know. I mean, it's sad to see, man, because, you know, it's like you got to get back together and he's injured. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do about that. It's just
– no luck. They have no luck.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. Very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, they turned it into a pretty good angle and made Samoa Joe a much better heel for it, but the reality of it is this is a blow, because the Shield was starting to not be the Shield anyway. Like, the old Shield would never have teamed with Jason Jordan and all this nonsense. It wouldn't have happened. So they were sort of like, we're the Shield, but we're not the Shield, and now they're really not. And I think, you know, fans realize this isn't the same Shield that they liked so much before. And it's just the two guys with the, you know, coming out together, separately together even. But it's really, I don't know, this could probably put a damper on it to the point where you don't really hear much about it anymore. And it's just like a given that, yeah, we sort of are the Shield, but we're going our separate ways. So I don't know where that's going. We mentioned the Elias thing. What we didn't mention, of course, is that the end of this contest, that match, by the way, was what it was. It was okay. At the end of the Elias thing, we're supposed to get a six-woman tag match. We got Sasha Banks. We got Bayley. We got Mickie James against Paige and Absolution. Should say that Asuka made an appearance. She fought Alicia Fox. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. The Asuka experiment's not going well. And then they have this argument. They have this horrible argument. And this is another Booker T thing. Booker T says, look, she can't just come up to the main roster and think she's going to be like Miss Undefeated and rest on her laurels. And Cole and Corey Graves jump all over Booker, who's right for a change, and say, what are you talking about? She's undefeated. What are you talking about? She's never been beaten. It's been 2 years. Blah, blah, blah. What Booker T was trying to say is, this ain't NXT. But they didn't want him to say that, you see, because NXT isn't supposed to be the minor leagues anymore, folks. What Booker T was really trying to say is, Asuka cannot come up here and think, because she was undefeated in NXT, that she's going to take these main roster girls out easy. This ain't the same playing field. They didn't want him to say that, so they panicked, and, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. He was right. That's the line you should be towing, is that this is not going to be as easy for Asuka. But they didn't want to tow that line. So Alicia Fox gets in a few punches, not much, and Asuka wins. Big deal. Fans aren't going crazy over Asuka here. They're trying to make it that way. Not happening. Anyway, we get to that six-woman tag match. It just turns into a total brawl. The rest of the locker room empties. All the women come out. First, of course, Nia Jax comes out. Nia Jax comes out and does possibly the worst spot in the history of women's wrestling, except it's not her fault. Nia Jax squashes Sonya Deville in the corner with Mandy Rose. And then Sonya Deville literally hangs her arms around her partner before Nia Jax even goes for the double scoop up. So you know what's going to happen. You're like, why wouldn't you just let go? I mean, that is really, wow, was that bad. Made it look foolish. Made it look staged and fake. What I did like is that Paige takes out her leg, makes Paige look good. Paige is beating on Nia Jax. Out comes the troops, even Asuka. And as the melee is ensuing, Stephanie McMahon, who has been shown to be there, comes out. Now, the deal is Stephanie McMahon has got to be the Stephanie McMahon and Triple H are made for each other. Because while Triple H got to go to India and beat Jinder Mahal because I'm a big star at 50-some-odd years old, Stephanie McMahon, who stepped in the ring a few times in her life, has to make every women's superstar's jaw drop when her music hits. Oh, my God, stop fighting. Stephanie McMahon is here. So it makes me think, well, you're not really that serious about fighting, because I know this. If I'm in a big fight with somebody and I'm serious, I ain't stopping just because Stephanie McMahon comes out. It kind of undermines especially the Pages group, because they're supposed to sort of be like, you know, the wild cards here that don't really care, but whatever. Stephanie McMahon comes out and makes the announcement that if you listen to this show, by the way, we made over a month and a half ago. While all the other shows, and yes, I'm going to pat ourselves on the back here, while all the other shows were telling you they're considering it, but it's not written in stone, that there might be a woman's Royal Rumble. They're tossing it around, but we're not really sure. We told you they're going to do a woman's Royal Rumble. And when the other six women came up, we said, there's your proof positive that they're going to do a Royal Rumble. They need more women on the main roster. Well, we were right. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm probably looking forward to the women's Rumble more than the men's, because I'm not sure who's going to win. And I'm pretty sure I know who's going to win the men's Royal Rumble. And now I'm hearing, well, aside from these girls and the SmackDown roster, which I guess would not include Charlotte and would not include Alexa Bliss, because that wouldn't make sense, we could be getting Trish Stratus back out of retirement, Ronda Rousey making her debut, several other surprises, including some NXT girls. It could be really good. This could be really good. What wasn't really good is that everyone who a minute ago was ready to kill each other all of a sudden has this proud moment of, yes, yes, we're making history together, ladies, and it's kumbaya. I thought they were all going to sing kumbaya. And I know they wanted to break kayfabe, and I know they wanted to give the women that moment of saying, look, look how far you've come. But I don't like it when it's done that way in front of everybody. I don't. I just think it takes the edge off the heels a lot. It just really does. You can't have Alexa Bliss in the ring crying because she's proud of, you know, how far the women's division has come. You can't have Paige in tears because this is a moment for women's. I understand why they're doing it, and I understand, and they certainly should be proud. But this is your character, and I just, I don't know. What did you think about that, Mike?
You know, I'll put it to you this way. Remember the whole Raw walkout thing when they were trying to fire Triple H and all that stuff? And basically, they started a match with Cena and Sheamus. And when he came, when Vince came out, Vince had to say, ring the bell, stop the match, because they weren't going to stop that match unless he said that, you know. That's what should have happened, you know. She should have come out and said, okay, stop the fight, I've got an announcement. And if they didn't stop the fight, it should have been a big pull apart, in other words.
Yes, and at very least, Sabretooth, Absolution should have slid out of the ring to safety and listened to what Stephanie McMahon had to say from the floor or the rampway. So then if they acknowledged, yeah, that's cool, we can't wait, I would have been like, well, that's okay. Because, of course, they want to be in the Royal Rumble. But to just sit there with the other ladies and all be like, oh, boy, girls, look what we did. I don't know. I would rather have had them outside the ring. Because logic would say, this is our chance to escape, get out.
Right. And also, why it is like a cool announcement to make. I wouldn't have made that. I mean, I wouldn't have done it to end the show. I mean, yes, a big announcement, but like the end of the show like that was kind of lackluster. And also, even the match to begin with, after whether it's like a six-man tag team match, I knew something was going to happen because, I think I had come up this last week. So what more? What more is the supposed to do if they all got jumped on last week? Got to come up, and what's left?
That's the problem. They jumped the gun a little bit last week with that. They did that a little bit too soon, in my opinion. And yeah, this was a weird Raw. There were parts of it that were very good. I think that if you want to look at the positives, here are the positives. I think that Jason Jordan's character is working. And I think the fans have finally found a legitimate heel they seriously do not like. And guess what, boys and girls? He's really good in the ring. So he's going to be able to put on really good matches to back up really good build-ups for matches. That's good news. So there's good news number one. Good news number two is the tag team division got a little bit of a shot in the arm. The Revival is back, and if they're handled right, they could be players. So that's good news number two. Good news number three is we're having a Women's Royal Rumble, and I'm really looking forward to that, even though I knew it a month and a half ago, as did all of you who listen. Good news number four, still think you got something in Elias, and I think each time he appears, he is proving he has superstar potential, and he's going to go somewhere. That's all the good news I got this week. Bad news, Dean Ambrose is probably out for a while. Hopefully not until WrestleMania, but Lord knows. Hideo Itami, for whatever bizarre reason, pins people on the main roster before being taken to 205 Live, while Finn Balor, who didn't pin anybody in this match, still stays on the main roster, even though they're exactly the same size. Which is frustrating. The Brock Lesnar situation has reached the conclusion. I mean, there's nothing more you can do. If you don't know, if you're above the age of 8 and you don't know that Kane is in that match only to get pinned, then you've not been watching wrestling very long. I mean, Kane is in that match for no other reason than to be pinned. He doesn't deserve to be in the match. He hasn't won a single match except for Finn Balor. He does not deserve to be in the match. Yet here he is in the match, and we know why he's in the match, to get pinned. So that is a wasted main event, if they want to call that a main event. I don't call it a main event. The Royal Rumbles are obviously the main event. But, you know, they do that once in a while with title matches at the Royal Rumble. It doesn't really – it's no big deal, so to speak. Well, this one really is no big deal. More bad news is that we should talk a little bit, and we will, about Enzo briefly, because I think Enzo and Corey Graves really got into it. They don't really like each other, and that is a fact. And they got into it a little bit. And one of the highlights, by the way, of this week's Raw, another positive I should put, is that Drew Gulak was fantastic. But when I see a guy like Cedric Alexander not on the main roster, and you notice they're announcing him right at 205 pounds. I want him to step on a scale. I guarantee he's 210, 215. Cedric Alexander belongs on this main roster. Put another few pounds on him, put him on the main roster. He has everything he needs right now. I know they want 205 Live to have these type of great quality athletes. I get it, but this is a guy who belongs on the main roster. Drew Gulick, I know he's a little small. He's good for 205 Live, but wow, what a great match those two guys put on, and what a lot of personality Drew Gulick showed. When he came back to that backstage area with toilet paper wadded up in his nose from a bloody nose, interrupts Nia Jax and Enzo saying, I know I lost. I let the team down. There is a really good chance that they are going to flip Drew Gulick. I really didn't think they could do it. Thought, how is he ever going to pull off this character as a face? It won't work. Well, what he showed is he can modify this character a little bit. And, yeah, I think he could pull it off now, Mike.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. And here's, you know, you look at him, you know, he's another one of these guys that, you know, they say he's 195, but he could pass for about 205, you know, Gulak. Just like Cedric Alexander could pass for 210, 215. And you're right, you're absolutely right about Cedric Alexander. He needs to be on the main roster. He does. I know they wanted at some point to put that title around Cedric Alexander's waist, but I don't think he needs it. I think he's ready right now to come up.
I do too. I got to tell you that you scout that 205 Live roster, and the one person that I keep saying I'd like to see him on the main roster. Yes, he needs a little bit of mic work help. But as far as his look, his skill, the quality of matches he puts on, his work rate, I don't know, man. I think Cedric Alexander needs to be up, like, today. What do you think, Sabretooth?
I mean, yeah, he's a main roster guy, but the only thing is that if he goes to the main roster, WWF will ruin his character, though. They ruin him. That's the main reason I want to see him on 205 Live. His character's not that great, but it's good enough for 205 Live. That's it. But the main roster, they just totally ruin him. And as far as Gulak going face, Enzo's doing this part pretty good too. But he's like not my friend really, and he's like. Now I'm talking again. The props goes to Enzo for that. You know, got come backstage all beat up, nose bleeding. Enzo.
It was a great skit. He says, "I'm going to watch some tapes. I got to figure out what I did wrong. I'm going to watch some tapes." And rather than see, this is why I know he's going to turn face. Sabretooth is because instead of saying I was cheated. The damn referee, this, that, and the other thing. He took full blame. He said, I take full responsibility. I have to study the tapes. I have to figure out what I did wrong. I let the team down. That's all face stuff.
Right. And like I said, I mean, like, and Enzo's playing his part well. Like I said, I mean, like, he's not my friend. You know, he's
right.
So, yeah. So, then, yeah, I mean, so you're feeling, he's like feeling sorry for the guy. You know, so, yeah, they're going to flip him.
Yeah, listen, last week I said, I don't know how they're going to do it with the, you know, the weird politician thing and his PowerPoints and stuff. I just don't see how they can do it. But Gulick showed a different side of himself last night, and I think they can do it. If he plays this kind of goofy, I mean well, but I'm just hopelessly weird, it'll work. It'll definitely work, and you could get Gulick over. As far as the Cedric Alexander thing, I'm telling you guys, person on that roster. You know, we always talk about why the WWE didn't have an African-American champion. This guy could be one. Here's what you'd need to do. Put a few more pounds on him and tell him, tone down the real high-flying stuff a little bit. Use it sparingly. Once in a while, you do those moves. But on the main roster here, we're not so flippy-divey. You keep that to a minimum. Do them in very certain spots to get impact from them, but push the other stuff and get a little better on that mic. And you got a guy that I would love to see title matches from this guy. This guy is really good. That's how good I think he is. Now, I don't know how old he is. I don't think he's really old. So there's time. But the WWE should be looking into that. And I know Cedric Alexander had to drop a considerable amount of weight to get into the 205 Live Cruiserweight Classic. So he obviously is used to carrying those pounds when he wrestles. So putting another 10 pounds on this guy and getting him on the main roster would be nice. I mean, he's a much more impressive and, what's the right word for it? Not intimidating, but he's a much more, he makes a better appearance than Finn Balor. As a guy that you'd say, yeah, that's a dude you'd probably not want to fight. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Overall, though, I think Raw had more negatives than positives. I really do. And some of them are not their fault. It's not their fault Dean Ambrose got injured, obviously. But some of them are their fault. Announcing that Women's Royal Rumble with opposing forces in the ring, it was one thing if the Raw roster, the normal Raw roster, all calmed down and kind of said, okay, we're going to have this moment where we're not going to fight. Because we've kind of seen them do that before. But Absolution should have been outside that ring. They could have reacted the same way to each other, but they shouldn't have had that moment with the women's roster, because that belittles the point of them being there. So that's another bad thing. The announcing is getting worse. It's just getting worse week by week by week. And something's got to be done. It's reaching critical mass here where you say, when I have to turn down the sound sometimes because I can't take this no more, I can't take this constant bantering, then that's no good. It's taking away from the matches. And the Brock Lesnar thing, that's another thing that's reached critical mass. I don't actually know if anybody really even cares about a Brock Lesnar match at this point. Talk to a lot of fans and say, is there somebody you'd really be like into seeing Brock Lesnar fight where you'd be like, this is great? And other than the name Nakamura, just for the implications internationally and things, people are like, not really. I don't want to see him fight Roman Reigns again. I don't want to see him fight Seth Rollins. I don't want to see him fight Kane. I don't want to see him fight, Braun Strowman. I don't really care. People really, they don't care. That's not good if that's your champion and people don't care. So for that reason, I'm going to give Raw a C+. There were some good things in it and some branches on the tree, Mike, but I don't think enough of them.
Yeah, I'll go with that, a C+. And by the way, Cedric Alexander is just 28 years old, so he's got time.
Yeah, he's got a couple of years to, he does, but I'd like to see him on there let's say by his 29th birthday. How's that? Sabretooth, what do you think, Raw this week?
I'm going to give it a C- because, at the end of a show, it should leave you looking forward to something next week. And the only thing I'm looking forward to is what's going to happen with Heath Slater and Rhino. That's the only thing. Not putting those guys down, but when that's the only thing you got to look forward to, yeah, C minus.
Because the Royal Rumble's not next week, so it's not something you'd look forward to. Todd, what's your rating?
I gotta go with you there, C+.
Yeah, so we're all pretty much in agreement that it was, it wasn't a terrible show. It wasn't a great show. It was a show. If you wanted to look on the bright side, Drew Gulick was great. Cedric Alexander was great. Elias got some push. We got a Women's Royal Rumble coming up, and I think Jason Jordan's coming into his own. So those are all good things. Tonight we'll see what the hell happens with the storyline at a Clash of Champions, and we'll be back here on Friday with our SmackDown report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.